It's time for the truth. Will you join me in a study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Matthew. We're continuing this wonderful study, Matthew chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading by verse 34 and read to the end of the chapter. Chapter 10, verse 34. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us by phone, 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our websites, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. That's parkviewbiblechurch.org. I've got many studies there. Hope that you will get a blessing from them and enjoy them. And then also, if you'd like to email us, you could email us at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com, whichever you would prefer. And we'd love to hear from you, that knowing that you're enjoying the study and growing from it, coming to know the Lord Jesus through it, please let us know. That way we can lift you up in prayer. Matthew chapter 10, and we'll begin reading now with verse 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. He that receives you receives me. And he that receives me receives him that sent me. He that receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whoso shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water, only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. What wonderful reading. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you. I thank you that you have given us this opportunity to come and to share your precious word. I thank you that we are able to be led by your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that he can guide and lead us through your precious word. I ask, Father, that you will just touch every heart. It's such a joy to be able for these many, many years to proclaim the word of God, not only from the pulpit and from Bible studies and Sunday school class and those wonderful things, but also the radio. It has been such a blessing to be able to take the Word of God and watch it work. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for it. Continue to use it, bless it, use your Word that we've read and studied, and touch every heart, please, dear Lord. Touch every heart that's listening. You know the need, so you just apply it to whatever that need is today. For salvation, help them to recognize they're a lost sinner and they need Jesus. Help them to realize there's not one single good person out there that's going to survive and make their way to heaven without coming by faith to your Son Jesus. Help them to understand that he is the only one that can take our sin away. Now guide and lead us through this study, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. When we look at this precious book, we find that it brings some strange statements. And some of these strange statements tell us that there's going to bring division. The world, in their declaration of God, says that he is a God of love, he is a God of mercy, and he wouldn't send anyone to the pits of hell. He doesn't desire that anyone go through any trials or tribulations. That's what the world teaches. But God's word tells us differently. God's word clearly tells us that if we stand with him, that there will be a cross to bear. If we stand and walk with him and serve him, there will be tribulation. And that tribulation can be enormous. It can be a terrible tribulation and trouble that we'll have to walk through. And in God's word here, he really breaks it down for us. Think not that I come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. The reason that that statement there is so clear and so needed and necessary is because the world is dark and wicked. God is light and righteous and perfect. Now you tell me how those two can coincide, how that they can go together without some kind of tribulation, without some kind of trouble. You cannot put light and dark together. You cannot put the wickedness of Satan and the righteousness of God together. There's got to be a decision made. And this world has lived by its own ways and its own terms for so long. And Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was born, virgin born, lived a perfect life, gave a great witness for 3 years, and then died on the cross, was crucified. He died, buried 3 days and three nights, and rose again. He is at the right hand of the Father right now. Jesus was perfect. The world is wicked. Oh, we have some people that appear to be good. And they attempt to be good. But that's not good enough. Our best is as filthy rags, as the scripture tells us. So when we begin to walk after the Lord Jesus, following him, that is when tribulation begins. Now, we've got a couple of scriptures here that we ended with last time we were together, and we're going to go back to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5. Acts, Romans, chapter 5, the first verse. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is only one way that we can have peace with God. There's only one way we can be justified. And that is to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. I hope you know where these books are found, because I don't have them pre-marked. I don't have them written down on my sheet of paper. I turn with them, and that way you have ample time. And so if you're having trouble getting to those places, why, just do a little practicing. Study your books of the Bible and do some Bible drills to find them so that you can be sure and look these wonderful passages up with me. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Philippians 4, 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So, peace with God and the peace of God. Individually, we must receive Jesus. There can be no peace with God until we receive the Lord Jesus. I don't want you to miss that. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 2, the 14th verse. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. I'm sure that you have heard that read, and you've probably read it yourself many times at a Christmas program. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. So we have peace with God, we have peace of God, and we have peace on earth. Now the only time that peace on earth will come, and that's when Jesus takes his church home, the rapture. 7 years we're going to be with the Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb. There's going to be a terrible time here upon earth, 7 years of tribulation, and then we will begin the thousand-year reign with Christ. Then there will be peace on earth. Let's look at Psalms. We got some Psalms and some Isaiahs here, and so let's look at Psalms 72, verse 7. Psalm 72, seventh verse. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. There's going to be a wonderful time of peace, but that will only come during that thousand-year reign. 85, Psalms 85, verse 10. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. What a wonderful verse of Scripture. The joy of walking with the Lord Jesus, knowing the Lord Jesus, knowing what's to come. Isaiah 9. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and shall his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. There will be a day of peace on earth. So what Jesus was saying and what was to be taught is that there would be and will be great division, because there is a great difference between God's righteousness and the world's sin. There's a great difference there. And the only way that we can be under and in God's righteousness is to come by faith to Jesus. That's the only way to come by faith to Jesus. That's it. You must trust in him. You say, well, I've always believed. No, please, please, don't say that. Because if you say that, that means that you've never truly accepted Jesus as your Savior. And you can say, Larry, how can you say that? How can you deny that I know the Lord Jesus? It's because the day that you accept, the day that you accept that you're a sinner, and the day that you acknowledge that you're a sinner and accept Jesus as your Savior, that is a day you'll never forget. It's not an always I have known. That's it. That's wrong. That is a good certain way to end up, wake up in hell when you die. Jesus calls for us. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is a time, there's an appointed time, please, that you trust in him. Jesus does not cause the contention and the hatred. The cause comes from the hearts of unbelievers. Believers love God. Believers have come by faith to Jesus. Believers have the love of God in their heart. Believers come helping, sharing, giving, desiring to bring others to the Lord Jesus. Why do I do these radio programs? Why do I teach Sunday school class? Why do I preach the message? Why do I teach Sunday night? Why do I teach Wednesday night? Why do we do these things? It's because I want you to truly know Jesus and have the peace that he has to offer. And yes, according to this precious word back in Matthew, there is and will be great division. Great division. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now let's take a little bit of time and look at this, because this is a great divider. Is the truth versus a lie. The truth versus a lie. The devil, in all his ways, is proclaiming lies. Lie after lie after lie. We see it in politics today. We see it in families today. We see it so many places that folks are living a lie. The truth of the Word of God brings us to the saving knowledge of Jesus, shows us that we're a sinner, and then sets a path before us of a righteous walk to be like the Lord Jesus. But because we are walking then and now in the light, because we have Jesus, the world hates that. And so once again, I'm going to read this statement. Jesus does not cause contention and hatred. The cause comes from the hearts of unbelievers, which ultimately comes from Satan. Christians are light, and unbelievers are darkness. We have a couple of verses of scriptures to look at here. 1 Thessalonians. The piece that we read earlier back in Psalms and Isaiah, those things will come when Jesus comes. But today, this old world is an ugly, ugly place. And there is great division. And when you stand for Jesus, there's going to be a cross for you to bear. Understand that. Don't expect anything otherwise. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, you are all the children of light, the children of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Colossians, Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Lost one in there. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You must meet Jesus. You must meet Jesus. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You must trust in Jesus. You must trust in Jesus. As we continue down through these verses of Scripture, it really is just a continuation of what to expect until we get down into the 40th verse here. But as we once again begin in verse 35, for I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. In other words, it could be very close. A husband may want to go to church, and the wife is lost and ungodly and says no and throws a monstrous fit, or vice versa. Or maybe a child is grown up and is enough of an adult past the age of accountability and is trusted in Jesus and says, Mom, I want to go to church, or Dad, I want to go to church. And they say, you're not going. We don't believe that stuff. So you see, that comes right here. There is battles on the front. We don't have to go too far to find the battle. When true doctrine is taught, it leads to division. You want to know why so many people can sit in some of these churches today, and you have such a diversity of those people? It's because the doctrine is not taught. They are not taught the true doctrine of the Word of God. They are not taught that you come by faith to Jesus and Jesus alone. They are not taught that you're not saved through any kind of baptism or any kind of works. It's by faith and faith alone. We are not taught that. We are not taught that after you're born again, after you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then comes baptism. And it's not a sprinkling. It is an immersion. Those doctrines need to be taught. But you don't do that till you're born again. And it's done, and it's very serious. You hear today of so much nonsense with the baptism, even with if it's immersion, and people take it so lightly. It is testifying what's happened inside your heart. That's the reason that you wait and do it after you're born again. But there is great division there. Jesus does not wish for us to have this division. But once again, darkness and light will not coexist. It will not. And so when it does not, and the relationships, father and mother, son or daughter, we find these are most likely relationships to have been affected, because so many times it's divided. It continues, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Oh, there's a problem. There's a problem. Yeah, my son or my daughter needs to go play ball. They need to go do this. They need to do that. Oh, it's so important. And I know we're going to miss church, but it's, you know, that just has to be, because this is more important. Well, what you're doing is you're teaching that child that some worldly activity is more important than coming in under the Word of God for a couple times a week. There's what you're teaching them. Shame on you. He that loveth father or mother more than me. And that's just exactly what you've done, if that be you. And he that taketh not his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And what that is talking about is, and it's the same thing in the next verse there, verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And so it's very important that we look to these verses of Scripture and understand there's going to be tribulation. There is no room for envy. There is no room. Children must love their parents, and parents must love their children. But if they love them more than Christ, you're probably not saved. You're probably not saved. I got a scripture verse back here in John we need to take a look at. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Verse 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. Men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. You see, when the light shows up, the people don't like what they see. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest that they are wrought in God. We must never be drawn from him, from God, by our parents, by our children, by relationships. We should never, ever be drawn from God and to, again, to love our children more than God, to have a love for our parents, to have a love for a spouse. We need to love Jesus. When we love Jesus, then we can love our spouse more. We can love all that are around us more. We can love our parents more, love our children more, know how to raise them and take care of them when we put the Lord Jesus first. We should take up our cross and follow him. They who follow cross must expect, follow Christ, must expect their cross. And that cross is tribulation. Expect trouble. Expect conflict, because it's coming. It's going to be there. But please, please don't turn away from that. I've had so many that when that conflict comes, when that cross is there to pick up and bear it, they walk away because they don't like the fighting. There is going to be that friction. It has to be there, because darkness and light cannot mix. Understand that. Understand there's nothing greater that we can have than to possess the love of Jesus and walk with him. In taking up the cross, we are able to follow and must follow Christ's example. And yes, he bore his cross. and we must bear our cross. Please, my dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?